Today is Mother's Day, and we'll say more about that a little later on. But first of all, it's the Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The first service this morning, 8 o'clock service, we had a packed. It was packed. I guess everybody wanted to go eat early. I don't know. But it's good that you are here. We know that the food will still be there. Some of you cooking. I'm not going to ask who cooking. A lot of mothers cooking for their own self today. Amen. We started a lesson series a few weeks ago entitled "The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ," and we're getting close to the end of the series. And I didn't want to diverge from the series this Sunday. I started to, but I think there's some application even for all of us today. We chose this lesson series because of the claims that Jesus makes about himself that are made about Jesus. And if these claims are true, then we need to become experts on Jesus. Amen. We need to major in Jesus, his teachings. For instance, in Matthew 28, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." All power. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He says that he that rejected me and received not my words has one that judges him. My words, Jesus says, will judge us in the last day. And so if that's true, we need to know about Jesus, if it's true. And we know that this is a biased audience. I, for one, I know you know where I stand on this. But at the same time, we as Christians, we need to always reconfirm our faith. Amen. But we also need to be able to give an answer for why we believe what we believe. Yes. And there are many in this world that will challenge our beliefs and what we believe in. And the foundation of our beliefs starts and ends with Jesus. And so we've studied his young life in the scriptures. We say his biography. The biography comes from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are really the primary and only record, true record we have of Jesus' life and his teachings. Not everything that he did in his life, but his life. There have been books written about Jesus, but they go back to the primary source of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we searched the biographies of Jesus, and we have been able to, if we've been studying and listening and we've been able to confirm some of the facts in the Bible with even secular facts of our day. For instance, some of the places that Jesus are mentioned in the Bible, where he was born, where he was raised, where his parents took him trying to escape. The people of the Bible, Herod, Tiberius, John the Baptist, others who are listed in the Bible, who are government officials that we can confirm with secular documents and the Word of God. The timeline of the Bible. For instance, John the Baptist started preaching in the 15th year of Tiberius. And so we can confirm a lot of the facts, and we've tried to do some of that, not all of it. The Bible doesn't say much about Jesus' life. At the age of 12, we know he was listening and asking questions in the temple. We know, according to the scriptures, he started his ministry at the age of 30 years old. That's Luke chapter 3, verse 23. At about age 30, he started his ministry. We know that before his ministry started, he got baptized. Although he had no sin, he was baptized. Now, we have sin. What do you think we need to do? If you haven't already been baptized, we have sinned. And then after he was baptized, he was tested. Jesus, the Son of God, was tested. Not tempted with sin, but tested. And God tests us also. Amen. Not for God's sake. God already know what we're about. Amen. But really for our sake. Some of us think we're strong, but we're weak. Some of us think we're weak, but we are strong. The only way you know is to go through a through some kind of test. And Jesus went through a test and passed that test with flying colors. We talked about that. And we talked about it at the beginning of his ministry on last Sunday. Today, want to focus on the miracles of Jesus. And start with me, if you will, in the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. And I want to start at verse number 11 and then work the way back up. Verse 11. This beginning, I say first miracle, but the first recorded miracle we have in the Bible. You do remember last week when we were talking, John says in one of his letters that if everything that Jesus did on earth were written, the books in the world couldn't contain what was written. So we don't have everything Jesus did while he was on this earth. But we have some things. We have enough. We surely have enough. And John chapter 2 verse 11 says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And he said this beginning. In other words, this is the first miracle. Chapter 11, if you went up, you see what he did. And it says, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus performed this miracle and made known who he, not totally who he was, but he was surely to be glorified. And his disciples that were with him, after they saw what he did, oh, they believed this is Jesus. This is him. What did they do? Go back now up to verse number 3, verse 3. I won't read it all, just for time's sake. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, and we know those of us that have been reading the Bible and studying the Bible, we know who the mother. Mother's name is Mary. She was a virgin, and she was with child, and she's spoken of in the scriptures, and so his mother's not a stranger to us. But at this particular time, when this is written, Jesus is 30 years old, at least 30. And the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now, if you read the other part of it, his mother was invited to the wedding, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding. And so they were there. And the wine ran out. Now, this is not a sermon about wine. Don't ask me to preach about wine this morning. But they had wine at the wedding. And she said, the wine, there's no more wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. Now, that's why I mentioned earlier that everything Jesus did is not written in the Bible. Yeah. Now, today is Mother's Day, and mothers are very, very special. Yeah. Very, 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 very special. Mothers have mother's wit, mother's intuition. Do mothers know their children? Most mothers, I know this is not for every mother, but primarily most mothers know their kids very well. Now, he's 30 years old at this time. Mothers know, and this is no indictment on any of us. All of us have different talents. Mothers know which one of our boys is stronger than the other boys. She knows which one works with their hands. She knows which one is faster. She knows what don't feel. She knows which one has more intellect. Amen. Can I make it more plain? She knows who's smarter and who don't have it all quite together. I mean, mamas just know. They don't say it all the time, but does mothers know that? Mothers know kids' weaknesses, their strengths, and they know how to treat them. Now, Mary knew Jesus. Mary knew Jesus now. Listen to what the scripture said. So she went to Jesus and says, Jesus, the wine is out. Now, she said that to Jesus as if Jesus could do something about it. Amen. Didn't she? Amen. And now, she said that to Jesus because she knew Jesus could do something about it. Now, how did she know that? I don't know. The Bible does not say, but she knew her boy. And then Jesus said to her, wait a minute, mama, why are you telling me that? You know, mama's got a way of getting you to do things. Amen. And you know, mamas, they kind of beat around the bush, but they really telling you to do what they want them to do. Amen. Yeah, even when you get grown, you know, mama call you on the phone. Yeah, hey, what you doing? Yeah, I was just checking on what they saying. You haven't been over here in a while. I was just checking on it. I'm looking at these cabinets. I got this door. You see, showing making all this noise. Instead of saying, son, I need you to come over here and do something. But the mothers know how to get with. And Mary said this to Jesus. Notice this. She said this to Jesus, and Jesus says to her, Mama, it's not time for people to know who I am. Amen. Just yet. Amen. But listen to the next phrase. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. She just totally ignored everything Jesus said. She act like she didn't hear what Jesus said. Mama, it's not time yet, she said, to the servant. She turned to the servant. Servant, look, whatever he tell you. And now that she said that to them, but she was also saying to Jesus, yeah, Jesus, you're going to do this. Whatever he tells you, you do it. Jesus, I know you can do something about this.
Amen.
And Jesus said nothing else back to her. He said, do you have some water pots? They went and got 6 water pots. And we don't know how it happened, but Jesus transformed the water into wine.
Yes.
And the scriptures say it was the best wine.
Amen.
I mean, you know, when God created the world, every day he said, and he saw that it was good. That's how God don't create junk, don't make junk. God... And Jesus didn't do the same.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we have this miracle that Jesus, this scripture says it was the beginning of his signs.
Yes.
And I read to you verse 11 a few minutes ago, and his disciples, when they said, so his disciples were very new. He'd selected them, and they've just come on the scene. They'd heard Jesus. They heard his powerful words. And he did testify and call one of his disciples' names before they even knew him.
Yes.
But when they saw this, it says they remember that. So as we study about Jesus, as we talk about him, as we try to confirm him, reconfirm him, it's for a reason. It's that we might believe. And you got to believe it just like he's here today. Just like he was a real person, and he still is.
Yes.
He still is. That's the point. Now, listen to this. Listen to Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about the miracles of Jesus. And see, a miracle is something that is supernatural. It is something that a regular person cannot do.
Amen.
Cannot do. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Matthew 11, 2. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John. Who is this? This is John the Baptist. This is the forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist, he's in prison. And he's hearing all of this about Jesus. And he tells his servants, go and ask Jesus, are you the expected one, or shall we look for another? And this is what Jesus told him. He said, answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. Yeah, some of us, we like to see everything. If we say, well, if I don't see it, I won't believe. I'm telling you what, I'm pretty close to that myself. But see, seeing is more than just seeing with your eyes. It's more than just seeing with our physical eye. The word, we can read and be taught words that will open up life to us. It will make our spiritual eyes be able to see. And he said, he went on to say this. He said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Yes.
See, a miracle, the purpose of miracles was to bear witness to the truth.
Yes.
To bear witness that he provided a sign to confirm what he was teaching. See, the teaching's already true. Yes. Whatever he taught was true. But some people had to have more than just the words. And Jesus confirmed the word through listen to Matthew, Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Mark 16, 19. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, this is his apostles. He's talking to his apostles. This is right after right before he was getting ready to go back to heaven after he'd been crucified. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. The apostles went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. They were able to perform miracles by the laying on of Jesus' hands. And so we see the value, the importance of miracles and true. And we're talking about true miracles, things that were supernatural that happened. I know some people say, Brother Gary, people are still performing miracles today, not like Jesus did. I'll be the first to say that God can do whatever God wants to do. Somebody go to the hospital, would church pray for them? The doctors that they go and call, make a diagnosis and say this person is going to die in 2 weeks, and you see that 10 years later they still living. And so God can do, the power of prayer can make all things possible. Amen. If we have enough faith. Yes. But I'm talking about the demonstration of miracles the way Jesus did. He laid his hands on people. And a blind man, now I'm not talking about Benny Hinn, and I'm not talking about on the television. And you say, Brother Gary, I know somebody. I know some. Bring them here and so we can see it. And really see it. Now, and you let Brother Gary pick the person out that he or she heals. And so I'm not saying anything against it, but I'm talking true miracles. And that's what was used. And Jesus performed these documented miracles.
Yes.
And they were written about. But listen to this. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Now, I'm interchangeably going to the Gospels, going to the biographies, because some of the writers of the biographies, they give different details, but none of them contradict one another. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20, listen to what he says. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done. Why? Because they did not. Did you not know that although Jesus performed many miracles, many people still didn't believe? Just like today. Some people just say, I don't believe it. That's our choice. But you know, most of us believe something. A lot of us believe stuff to me. So, we believe something, and even something that we have not seen. And I'm mentioning, I want to get a little intellectual. You know, our theme for the year, this year, is to love God with all our what? With all of our hearts. That's what God wants to do. God do not want us to, and he's not talking about this heart. He's talking about with this. He says, love him with all your soul. All your, now you can't even see your soul. He says, love. Now, God wants us to love him emotionally. With, you know, when we sing our songs and we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, God wants us to sing with the spirit. God don't want us to just sing dry songs to him. Some of us, we sing songs and we just, okay, I heard we just gonna get through this so Brother Gary can get up there and preach. And we have no emotion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes we sing like that, we might not even ought to sing. I'm not saying don't sing. I know, well, again, I'm having a bad day. I understand. I just don't feel like I understand. But when we come to worship,
yes,
that's a whole nother sermon.
Come on now. Come on,
but God don't want our half-heartedness.
Please.
Who, matter of fact, who wants your children? You know, as a parent, you say, sometimes you tired. Your kid, mama, read this, and they talking to you, and they don't want your half. And you say, go sit down, girl. I'm tired. I don't feel like being mom. And you know what? And a lot of children, that's still a, mamas, can you still read? You know why? Because they want your heart. They want your attention.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And God wants our emotional heart. But you know what else, God? God wants our intellect. God, with our soul, with our mind.
Yes.
And see, with your mind, you have to, that means that you have to study. You have to research. You have to learn. And so when we analyze, we're looking at the life of Jesus. We're looking at it, yes. We're looking at emotion, yes. If Jesus died for us, don't that get us emotional?
Yes.
He performed all these great miracles. Shouldn't we say, wow?
Amen.
But let's make some sense out of it.
Yes.
You know, it's not that we just blindly serve God. Yes. We blindly believe. We just, well, they say go to church on Sunday, so we just going to go. That's why we're looking. See, I mentioned. Let's get a little bit more intellectual. Now, he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not. They saw it and still didn't repent. He goes on. He says, "Woe to Chorazin! Woe to Bethsaida!" He mentions physical cities. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre, which is a physical city, and Sidon, these are historical, the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 26, he reprimanded them because of their disobedience to God. And these cities were, he predicted, he prophesied, God told them that you tell them that they are going to be utterly destroyed, and they were destroyed. These are cities. And he says, if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. That's what Jesus said to these physical cities. Now, pull up the map up here. Everybody see this map up here. Pull up the map. Now, what I did, I enlarged a segment of the in the lifetime of Jesus Christ in Palestine and Galilee. I enlarged this map a little bit. This is Galilee, the region. Jerusalem is not on here because it's down here, a little bit further. This is the Jordan River. Some of you know John the Baptist baptized in the Jordan River. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. I mention these details for our scholars and for our students and those who are intellectual. And you say, well, is everything in the Bible true? Just let's keep studying it. And he mentions this. This is the Sea of Galilee. The cities that we just talked about, Chorazin. Go back, brother. There you go. Chorazin. Bethsaida. And then he later in this verse, in chapter, verse 23, and he says, And you, Capernaum will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, a physical city, mentioned in Genesis chapter 19, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now, notice this. These three cities, some scholars call them, was that me? Oh, that's me doing that. Okay, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. Go back. You go back for me. There you go. Okay. Some scholars call these the Trinity cities where, because Jesus performed most of his miracles there. Now, let me go back some more detail. This is just a quick review. Now, we mentioned that the beginning of Jesus's miracles happened in Cana of Galilee. That's Cana right there. I'm showing you on this map just for everybody to see. This is not made up stuff. These are details that happen. That's why they're mentioned in the Bible, to confirm our faith, so we would know that this is not a made-up story. So, and Jesus, remember, he grew up in Nazareth. There's Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, which is not on this map because I just didn't extend it down. He was born in Bethlehem. His parents took him to Egypt. Egypt is not on this map, escaping from danger. But these cities are there. And Jesus did perform most of his miracles in those cities. And Jesus is loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's patient. But you know, everybody, even with us, don't we get tired of foolishness? See, Jesus, he's doing all of this work. He's performing all of these miracles. I mean, let me read to you one of the miracles. Let me read to the one of the miracles. Drop down to Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Listen to what the scripture says. When the prophets returned, when the apostles returned, they gave him an account to him of all that they had done. And his apostles had been out teaching. And taking them with him. This is Jesus. He withdrew by himself to a city called, there it is, Bethsaida. Remember, that's the one we mentioned a few moments ago. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, Jesus welcomed them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus' primary purpose, he preached his message was the kingdom of God is near. It is very near. That was his message. That was the preach word. That was before the miracles. That's what he really was trying to get people to see. And so he taught them the kingdom of God is near. He says he preached them about the kingdom and curing them, those who had need of healing. So they were following Jesus. He was in Bethsaida. People were bringing my cousins, my aunties, my uncles, my brothers, my sisters, my children. I needed to go. Jesus healing all of these people and preaching the word. That's some good preaching, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a great audience. That I would have been in that crowd. Yes. Listen to what else happened. It says, now the day was ending, and the 12 came to see him, came and said to him, send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Jesus was compassionate. He said, look, let them go get something to eat, let them go get in their houses. He said, no, let's leave you feed them. And they said, we have no food, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food and all for all these people. And you know the rest of the story, that Jesus fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Amen.
These people saw this. They saw all of the miracles that Jesus did in Bethsaida. And Bethsaida was one of the cities that Jesus said, look, I'm sick of you. Why don't you believe?
Yeah.
I've done all of this. I'm teaching you. I'm showing you. And why don't you say, you know what? I'm denouncing you. And that's, boy, you know, it's a sad testimony.
Man.
Do you realize that God even gets tired of our foolishness? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. But God recognized that some people, they're not going to turn. And Jesus said to them while they were still living. He says, you know what? Y'all something else. And he says, Tyre, the city of Tyre, King Nebuchadnezzar, burn the city up. Burn the whole city. This is how detailed God is. Ezekiel the prophet prophesied to them, listen, your city's going to be destroyed. It's going to be a pile of heap. He says it's going to be ashes and rocks. He says even the rocks that's on top. He says your city's also going to be thrown in the sea. And you know, testimony would show Nebuchadnezzar, they destroyed the city, but it remained a heap for a long time. And see, every detail of the Bible is there, and it's the truth, if you follow up and follow it. But 2 centuries later, Alexander the Great, history would show that some of the people that were in Tyre and Sidon, some of them escaped to an island not very far away. And they were rebellious, even against Alexander the Great. But you know what Alexander the Great did? He took the ruins of the city of Tyre. He took the piles of rock, and his men actually threw it in the sea. And it made a causeway to the island, and they finished the job and killed all of the folks on the island. God don't play. No, God don't play. But then Jesus comes back and he brings up an example in the Old Testament, and he says, you know what? If those people on Tyre would have saw the miracles that I've done, they would have repented.
Amen.
And I say, you know, I hope that God never get tired of me.
Please.
You know, some of us have seen more than others, haven't we?
Yes.
See, some of us, you know, sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are. And some of us, we in here right now, we grew up in the church. Now, there's some who didn't know nothing about the church of Christ. Some who were not exposed at a young age. Some of us been in the church, and I'm preaching to the choir, but I asked the members of the first service to help me do something, just to make a point, not bringing guilt on anybody or not saying that we all have the opportunity to go to heaven. Thank the Lord. But don't block your blessing. Don't. Don't realize what you, if you have a, if you have, if your parents, that's whether you're grown or whether you're a child, if both of your parents are Christians, you grew, or are either you grew up in a home that both your parents, I'm not saying, I know, but that doesn't mean that, that just somebody say they're Christian, that they live in faithfully, but it should, shouldn't it? But if both of your parents were Christians, both your daddy and your, now my dad became a Christian after we were about 9 or 10 years old. But most of my life in my our household, we had, dad and mom. Thank the Lord. Yeah. It made a difference. Yeah. If both of your parents were Christians or are Christians, whether they're dead or alive, would you stand for just a minute, just for a second, just for a second? I want the whole church to see this. If both of your parents were Christians. I was alarmed at the first service. I was alarmed at the first service at the number. But look around, look around. Now, if both of your parents Christians, they know God, shouldn't that make a difference in our home? You know, because see, there's some homes when people eat, they don't pray. Some home people just sit down and eat. Now, in our home, you sit down at the table, somebody gonna pray. Some homes don't hear God is good. Some homes don't tell their children, listen, son, your blessings come from God. Some homes don't hear that. Now, can I ask a question? Did you hear that?
Yes.
I heard it. I heard my, all right, my mother used to say sometimes to me, all right, boy, the Lord don't like ugly.
Amen.
Some people don't hear that. Amen. Well, what are you saying, Brother Gibbs? Let's don't be like Chorazin. Let's don't be like Bethsaida, who saw, who witnessed, who tasted the goodness. Now, if we got that, shouldn't our homes shed light on who Jesus is? Shouldn't our testimony, shouldn't our word, thank you, you can sit down, thank you. And I know there are those, and I'm not saying to those that have not, that don't have mother, dad, that grew up, or Christian, that you have an issue. Well, thank you again, because I'm having a hard time. No. If you're here today, you need to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If your ears can hear the word, that's how powerful the word of God is. But at the same time, don't underestimate. Do not. I didn't even mention Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom, the whole city was burned up. Some of you know that in Genesis chapter 19. And it was burned up because God couldn't find 10 righteous souls in the whole city. That's something. I asked the morning service. I said, do you think Moses first asked, Lord, if don't destroy the city. And Moses prayed, Lord, if it's 50 righteous, you still going to destroy the city? Houston has 7,000 people, 7 million in the metropolitan area. You think there are 50 righteous individuals in Houston?
Amen.
I tell you what, somebody ought to say yes. In the city, I tell you what, I hope there's 50 in here this morning. Amen, somebody. Listen, this is how horrible the word, this is how horrible this city was. Now, you're sitting and listening to the word of God. That's a big advantage right there. But one of the reasons why many times, even in our homes, sometimes we receive blessing from God because somebody is praying for us, because somebody is living a righteous life. Because I believe here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ that we have several individuals who love God, who would not denounce God, who thank God for all of his blessings. And hopefully Jesus would never say that. He says, and this tells us something else as we study God's word. He says, now, if the miracles that I've done in your cities had been done in Sodom was an evil city. And men were having relations with men. They were all kinds of stuff was going on. And God said, but if they'd seen these miracles, they would have. He says, it will be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than it will be for hard-headed folk like you. Is what Jesus said. Jesus said some powerful things in his word. And I notice this. They saw the miracle that 5,000 people were fed in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Listen to Mark 8, 22. And they came to Bethsaida. Again, this is another in the same city. They brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him up out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see like trees walking around." Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him home saying, "Do not even enter the village." Jesus performed this miracle on this blind man that everybody knew was blind in Bethsaida. And these are some of the same people who didn't believe, who didn't, the scripture says they did not repent. Because sometimes people can believe something, but not strong enough to make them change. And they didn't repent. Let me read Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 before I close. "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then," the scripture says, "the end will come." Now, we're talking about Jesus. This is the biography of Jesus. And we're doing this for a reason, because, see, our very existence, the grace that God gives us, the foundation that we stand upon is because is founded on Jesus Christ. But Jesus' primary role, his primary job when he was on earth, was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the miracles confirm what was taught about the kingdom. That's what it was all about. His miracles confirm the gospel of the kingdom. And I say that because we don't see the miracles that they saw. Yes. Question is, do you believe the miracles of Jesus?
Yes.
Even though you didn't see them.
Yes.
Because the scriptures say without faith it's impossible to please God. And guess what? Jesus is not coming back to this earth to perform any more miracles. Notice. He's not going to do it. Now, what we have that they didn't have is the New Testament, the Word of God, written in record. And now, you said, "But Gary, they had an advantage because they saw it." No, I believe we have an advantage because, see, we have access to the documents. We have access to the cities, to the places, to the times. We can read it over and over again. We have access to the characters, to the names, to the people. We have access to the timeline. They might have saw the miracles, but we have just as much evidence.
Amen.
As they had.
Yes.
And so it is the message of the kingdom that is going to save us. And his kingdom message, Lord have mercy, he taught, is teaching what he taught. Eternal life, salvation, it is what will lead us to heaven. He says, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Notice, he said to the Jew first. Now, this is such a shame, because those of Chorazin, those of Bethsaida, those of Capernaum, they were Jews. He says to the Jew first, "I'm giving you first dibs at it." And many of them rejected the truth. They rejected the gospel message. Some of them wanted to see miracles. Oh, that's awesome, Jesus could do that. But they were not willing to obey him. And that is his message, the gospel. And he says, Jesus says, after the gospel is preached to all the nation, it's going to be a testimony. In other words, the gospel is going to be preached to everywhere on the earth. Everyone, every person will have had an opportunity to hear the gospel. And he said, you know what? It's going to be a testimony. It will be the gospel that you will be judged by. The question will be simply asked, did you believe and obey the gospel? And let me say this, and I need to close. Let me say this, especially to I know one of the brothers. He said, "Brother Gary, I'm loving these messages on Jesus." He said, but we got it. He said, I got it. I know who Jesus. I said, you know what? I'm glad you have it. I said, but everybody don't have it. Especially our young people. I get questions, and you'd be surprised the number of emails and questions by our sons and daughters and fathers about my son, my daughter went to college, and they were exposed to this, and they want to know the answers to some of these deep questions, some of these things that the Bible doesn't address. For instance, like Brother Gary, who did Cain marry? And I'm not saying that the questions are not intriguing, and I'm not saying that I have not try to figure out some of the things that the Bible doesn't give us all the answers to. You say, who did Cain marry? Can I ask a question to that question? Why does it matter who Cain married? Amen. You do know Cain killed Abel, right?
Yes.
And he was punished because he killed Abel. You do know that, right?
Yes.
You do know Abel's acts are a testimony of faith, mentioned even in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the faithful acts that he had a better sacrifice because he believed God. God told him what to do. He believed him. Cain didn't believe him and didn't do what God told him to do. Cain was punished. Abel was killed, but he was not punished.
Amen.
And so you're worrying about who Cain married. And that really don't have nothing to do with our salvation, does it?
No.
And then if you really want to answer, although the Bible doesn't tell us, it's just if you study a little bit more, it can kind of give you a little bit of insight. And I'm saying this, Bro Gary, why are you going? I'm just some of the questions people have. Now, we want to know about all of these dark things, and God has given us what we need to do to have salvation.
Yes.
If you put all your faith in Jesus Christ, but Adam and Eve, we know the scriptures say they lived to over 900 years old.
Yes.
If they lived 900 years plus years old, they could have had a whole lot of children. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how many children can you have in 200 years? I know Leroy Brother Mobley family had 21 in less than 70 years, less than 40 years, and they maybe had 200 kids. And maybe Cain married one of his half-sisters. That's not right. It wasn't anything wrong with it back then. Not till we get to the law of Moses. And so Cain could have married. Well, tell me some more. What more do you need to know? A brother at the second service, brother came in. He said, "Brother Gary, you sure right. You sure right." I had people asking me questions. Somebody told me one. I don't know if it was brother or sister. He said, "Somebody said, well, Brother Gary, were there any women angels?" And I say, "Well, I've never been asked that one before. Are there any women angels?" But I do know the Bible talks about Gabriel, Michael, the angels. Those are male names. He said, "Well, see that." He said, "There go, there, right? That's me and A." I said, "Well, hold up, brother. I don't know. But the Bible says that the angels neither marry or are given in marriage. And see, the angels they don't marry. So I don't know if it's male. But what did that have to do with our salvation?
Amen.
We know the scripture said, 'He that believeth and is baptized shall be. He that believeth not shall be.'" It's about Jesus. It's how we respond. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe. Notice this, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said, repent and be baptized. Excuse me. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of forgiveness. Sin is what's going to keep you out of heaven.
Amen.
If we don't do something about it before we leave this earth. Jesus gave them that message, the apostles that message. The apostles passed that message on to us. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before, not Muhammad, not Buddha, read Buddha books. Some of these guys that have some good self-help books, they may be good, they may teach, but they don't teach you more than what Jesus has taught us. Shall confess me before men, here will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. That's confession.
Yes.
And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of all of your sins. And so we hear God's word, we believe it with all our heart, we repent of our sins, we confess Christ, we're baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And the scripture also says that one day Jesus is coming back again. And his feet won't touch the ground. So scripture says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes. Then we who are alive will be caught up in the air. Notice this, with him. Everything is about Jesus. Yes. With him. Yes. So we trying to nail this down to make sure we understand and know. It's all about Jesus. You're here today and you're not a child of God. You need to be. I'm going to try to end this series in discussing Jesus' last days on this earth. And his. I can't go into grave detail just because of time, but you need to know the victories. And Jesus has the victory for all time. Every situation you have, but I need you to preach a lesson on how to raise my kids. It's still knowing about Jesus. Amen. How to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better employee, how to be a better church member, how to grow, how to be successful in life. It's still all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. You come by faith, repentance, and baptism. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. You stay with Jesus the rest of your life and you will not regret it. Is there one that needs to come? If you have a prayer request this morning, please give your prayer request. If you have something that you want to get right, won't you get it right as we stand to sing the song of invitation?
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Somebody's
knocking at your door.
Oh,